Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up on the captain's chair, and we are going to be marching around the grinder this time with the music in our minds, because we're running just a little bit behind. Susan had a very interesting program on. If you listen to Susan before you join me at the captain's chair, this is your Captain Joe up in the chair on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and voiceofvashon.org, streaming worldwide from Singapore on one side of the world to Stockholm on the other, all of the ships at sea, all of the aircraft in the air, all of the stations in between, and all of Captain Joe's people for our half hour together. And I have a friend who has many of the same interests that I do, and that's Molly O'Brien. And Molly, of course, is Truman's daughter, and she is also the co-host with him on the Morning Scramble on Tuesday. And good afternoon to you, Molly. And I understand that today was a special day in the O'Brien household. So tell us about that.
It is my dad's birthday today. And he insisted that I not give him the year.
All right. That's fair enough.
So
I happen to know what it is. And I happen to know that it is a seminal year.
It is.
And I heard him bitch and moan about it as he walked out the door just a little while ago.
I'm not surprised.
So how did you celebrate it on Morning Scramble?
Well, he recalls in 1964 when the Beatles first aired on Ed Sullivan on his birthday, and he was very excited, so he decided we would do an all-Beatles show.
And you had nothing but Beatles music, and I'd like to pretend that I don't know who the Beatles are, but I would not be able to get away with that. So there is a charming photograph of Molly and her dad. When Truman retired, when he made his last flight with Alaska Airlines, he was a senior 737 captain with Alaska Airlines. And on the last flight, Molly went with him. And there's a charming photograph of the two of them together. And Molly is sitting in the right seat and Truman is sitting in the left seat. And they're peering aft. Aft is the back of the airplane, for those of you who have still not gotten all of my terminology. And so I'm going to use that photograph to lead in, because Molly is a photographer of great skill. And so we haven't had a Molly O'Brien show for quite a while. What's going on, Molly?
Well, COVID. COVID's going on. Unfortunately, my last show was last March at the hardware store, right as everything was shutting down. So I had a show opening, and people could come see it for about a week, although people were starting to be afraid to come out. And then all the restaurants had to shut down. And that was the end of my show.
So
I'm hoping for post-COVID.
So when you obviously have a few photographs that went unsold in the March.
Oh, just a few, yes.
In the March showing. all of our listeners should know that the hardware store is no longer really a hardware store. It is a restaurant. Which was a hardware store. And among the other things that the hardware store had when it was a hardware store was a model train that ran around the ceiling. So, Molly, when you have this next show, I'm going to have you come on and we'll talk a little bit about the photographs.
That would be great.
One of your recurring themes is horses.
Yep.
And the reason for that is you are going to tell us all why it is, why horses are such an important part of your life.
Really because of both of my parents. My mother has been a horse person since she got her first horse at about 16. And my dad, though he's not a fan of horses, grew up ranching. And so therefore was around them and on them a lot throughout his childhood as well. And now I've just, you know, I did so much world travel when I was younger, I realized I hadn't traveled around our own country much. And so now that's what I've been doing the last few years, is traveling our own country and photographing the horses and cowboys here and in some of the areas where my parents grew up.
So one of the things that Truman and I have talked about is his irrational disregard for horses these days in his life. And I know that there are people that listen to us, even some Coast Guard people who listen to us who are themselves horse people,
yeah,
or they are no longer horse people for good and sufficient reasons. I have to admit that horses and I conceive an immediate and intense dislike for each other.
Yeah.
And the only time that I, the last time that I mounted to the high point of a horse was when I was still consuming adult beverages and I had overindulged in food and drink and was motivated to get on top of this horse, and not only get on top of this horse, but also to wear an enormous mariachi sombrero.
Oh, goodness.
Now, I wish that you had been there to take that photograph.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
But besides the horse theme, and I know that you have several horses in residence where you are living. And
yeah.
And but besides that, I know also that you take some lovely seascapes. And I have seen some of those. So here's my commitment to you right across the microphone, 6 feet apart, 1 fathom apart. And is that when the show goes up and I have a chance to take a look at it, and then you come down here and we'll talk about the show and the photographs that you have in it, and I will buy one of your photographs for my home, because there are two artists that live here on the island for whom no Vashon Island home is complete without having an original. And one is Pam Ingalls, and I have an original Pam Ingalls, and in fact it is a Vi, which means that it has a particularly high place in my household decorations. And the other one is a Molly O'Brien photograph, and so I need to have a Molly O'Brien photograph, and I will pick one out after I see the show, and then I will buy it from you, and we'll do it right here on the air so that everybody knows that, well, everybody knows that I keep my word, but everybody will know that they, too, will have the opportunity to go to, do you think it'll be at the hardware store?
Don't know yet.
Yeah,
possibly,
okay.
But
wherever
we don't
it
know.
Is, that they, too, can go to wherever Molly is showing her photographs, and they, too, can buy a Molly O'Brien photograph. So one of the other things that Molly and I share some interest about are things nautical. And one time, Molly asked me about the term best bower. And she had been reading, was it one of the O'Brien books?
I'm sure it was.
One of the O'Brien
Patrick
books.
O'Brien.
And the term best bower came out. So right off of Captain's Quarters today is a bulk carrier that is at anchor in the federal anchorage. And her name is the Ad Astra, two words, A-D and then A-S-T-R-A. She is riding to her starboard bower, Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And she is, there's a pretty brisk breeze blowing out there, so she's stretched her cable out. And I think that if I were, I don't think, I know that if I were her captain, I'd pick that hook up and I'd move her a little bit to the south, because I think she's riding just a little bit close to the shoal that's right off of Manzanita Point.
Oh, yikes.
So she is registered in the Marshall Islands. Have you heard of the ships being registered in the Marshall Islands?
I'm not sure that I have, and the only reason I've heard of them is because of all the theories about Amelia Earhart.
Yes, that's right. So she's registered in the Marshall Islands. And as is customary with ships, she is owned by a company called the New Dragon Company, in which has its headquarters in Monaco. And she is insured by a United Kingdom company. So were you looking her up on marine traffic?
Not on marine traffic. I was being very confused because I was recognizing that name. And I've seen so many shows lately that include like shipwrecks and things like that, that I was going, oh no, it's not one of the ones from one of those. No, it's because there's a movie out that's called Ad Astra.
Oh, what's the movie about?
I don't remember. I think it's a science fiction. I just glanced and went, oh yeah, it's a movie.
So this ship is no science fiction, and she is riding to her starboard bower. Today, modern ships don't have a best bower because on both port and starboard, they will have the same size and weight and style of anchor. But the term was very common in sailing ship days, and because Molly is a fan of the O'Brien series of books, she knew the term, or she asked me about the term, and I said that in sailing ship days, it was customary to have one anchor that was the largest, the heaviest, and had the best holding power, and that was the captain's best bower, and then there would be another one that would not be quite so sturdy, not quite so good in its holding power. So that's Ad Astra, and she's been there now for about 4 or 5 days, and she's supposed to go on to Tacoma. Let's see, Molly, you drive down to the South End every now and then.
Every now and then.
All right. So have you seen that? This is for all of our Vashon listeners, and I would say that our listenership is divided up between maybe half Vashon people and maybe half people all over the world. Mm-hmm. I know that my friend and colleague, Dr. Mark in Stockholm, stays up for the middle of the night to catch from the captain's chair.
That's great.
Yes, and so... down on the South End, they are talking about, they being the county road people, are talking about reducing the speed limit because
right, south of Burton.
Yes, south of Burton for bicycles and horses.
And not reducing the speed limit for the bicycles and the horses, but for the benefit of the bicycles and horses.
For the benefit.
We're not going to make the horses go very, very slow.
Right. So, so this is my foray into public service announcement, saying that that the county road people are asking for comments. So anybody who listens to this, you don't have to live on Vashon. You can live in Singapore, and you can write a comment if you want about the speed limit south of Burton. That's the part of the island on which I live, and I have often been concerned about bicyclists, especially on some of the hills where there is no bike lane off to the starboard side, and so they're out in the middle of the highway, and they are pedaling like crazy to get up that hill, and if it's at night and they're not wearing much in the way of reflective gear, we may well take one out, take a deer out at the same time. So I don't think I interpose any objection to this particular.
Well, you know that I used to commute off the South End, and so I used to drive that every day.
That's right. You had a shop down in Pearl.
In Tacoma.
Yep.
And what I would say is that that hill has always scared me.
Mm-hmm.
That hill is a huge hill. For those of you who are not on Vashon, it is a big, long, windy hill with very steep, you know, embankment off the one side. And at 45 miles an hour, whether you're going up or down, it can be quite scary, especially if it's bad weather and especially at night. I'm not so sure I like the idea of extending the 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't mind so much their idea of taking the 45 down to a 35.
So there is only one stretch on the island where the speed limit is as high as 50, mm-hmm. and that's up on the north end, north of Vashon Community Care. And only a couple of places on the island where it is 45. We move things along here on the magical isle of Vashon at both Vashon Time,
Yes.
And Vachon Pace.
Yep.
And so I don't think I have any problem with their making this reduction, especially with the bicycles and the horses. So one of I happen to know that one of Molly's favorite aspects of this program, which we've not been able to do very often, but I'll give you an update, is the emergency head report.
Oh, yes.
And I suspect, but do not know, that maybe Molly has even found some reason to use one or more of those facilities, which generous storekeepers have made available to Captain Joe's people. And so the update is this, Molly, there is no update right now. That no place where I have these the permission from the owners of the businesses to publicize that people mm-hmm. can come in and use the head. I just checked with Doug down at the ACE Service Center, and he still has this barrier in front of the counter.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the service center very often, get your chainsaw, get your chainsaw fixed or anything like
Not
that?
Not generally, because I don't even own a chainsaw, so I usually just ask my dad if I need help.
Yes. Do they have any horsey stuff in the service center?
Probably
not.
Tell you the truth, I don't know.
No. So anyway, even Doug, who has been one of the most generous of people with the emergency head, has told me that we're not ready to do it yet. But let us hope that all of this business with the vaccination.
I got to tell you, it's going great back there. I have a front seat view to what they're doing back there with the vaccinations. They're doing great. It's amazing how fast they're getting people through there. And it's been really fun to watch since I work at the print shop and we're there at the back door all the time.
Right. That's
right. We're watching them, sending people through.
Okay. So you want to talk briefly about the print shop? You may.
We are. I forgot what I was going to say, the term I was going to use. Unlike what some people seem to think, we are open at Vachon Print and Design. But we are open Monday through Friday, 10 to 3, and we are using pretty tight COVID kind of protocols. We are still not allowing people in the store, but if you come to the back door, we have a counter across the door and an entire array of different bells you can ring, including a xylophone, to get our attention. But we're still performing all of the services we did pre-COVID.
We just
have to do it.
Okay, so what are some of those services?
Oh, everything from straight copies to printing your packing slips and your not packing slips, but your like your return labels if you're going to return an Amazon item or something, to designing your business cards, to creating calendars, to printing site plans, large format for construction. Oh goodness, all sorts of stuff.
Good.
I mean, tons of things.
And this is a typical island business. It's owned by an island resident.
Absolutely.
And hires only island residents as employees, and is its former name was Copy and Carriage.
A couple decades ago.
Yeah. Well, that's about how long I've been living on the island.
Hey, me too. I remember when it was Copy and Carriage.
So I depend on all of you out there to send me material. And one of my most prolific material providers is my friend, neighbor, colleague, Scott. And he sent me a piece about a Japanese submarine who came up under a fishing vessel off of the coast. Yeah, off of the coast of Japan.
Oh, wow.
So there are some aspects of this. I did a little bit of research on it after I got Scott's note, and I did a little bit of research about it, and it was just 20 years ago that an American submarine, the USS Greenville, came up underneath a Japanese fishing research vessel off of the off of Hawaii.
And flipped
the boat over, and they were carrying some students, and several students were drowned when this accident happened.
Ooh.
The coincidence of it is that it is 20 years ago that this happened.
Yeah.
So I did a little bit of research into the name. The name Soryu was familiar to me because Soryu, the Japanese carrier in the Imperial Japanese Navy, was not only one of the carriers that was part of the attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, but she was also sunk at the Battle of Midway. And so the name has been restored to an active vessel, this time a submarine, in the Imperial Japanese Navy. And so then I did a little bit more digging, and I wanted to know what the name meant. Did it have some malignant connotation to it? And it doesn't. The name means, depending on the way you translate the word, either blue dragon or green dragon. Now, it would seem to me that the color distinction would be pretty precise in any language, but in any case, that's the way it was described when I did a translation of it. And so I've chosen to call it the blue-green dragon. And
maybe it's the teal dragon.
Yes, and that she is carrying a name that was part of the Imperial Japanese Navy during World War II, all the way up until the Battle of Midway in May of 1942.
So was that the fishing ship that has that name?
No, the submarine.
The submarine, okay.
The submarine in the Japanese Navy.
Okay, and that's the one that came up under the fishing /research vessel?
No. The one that came up under the fishing, clearly, I was not clear as to how this all worked. So 20 years ago, mm-hmm. off of the coast of Hawaii, the USS Greenville came up underneath a Japanese fisheries research vessel.
Gotcha. Okay.
And she rolled the vessel over.
And people died.
And several people drowned.
Right.
20 years later, the Japanese submarine Soryu came up underneath a fishing vessel off the coast of Japan.
Ah. So whose fishing vessel was this one?
It was a Japanese one.
Darn, I was going to say, if it was American, it would have been perfect.
No, it was off the coast of Japan. No, but there were enough coincidences there that the story had a considerable amount of interest to me. In other ship name story, the Coast Guard cutter Steadfast, which is homeported in Astoria, Oregon, just returned from a cruise over the holidays, a drug interdiction cruise over the holidays. And she is a member of the Reliance class. And I was captain in Reliance at one time. And these are relatively small ships. They're only 210 feet long, but they carry a helicopter, but they do not have a hangar. And so the helicopter has to live out in the
open. On the deck.
Yeah. And so she's in a class of ships that has that were all named for desirable human virtues.
Oh, nice.
Yes. And so somehow when they were naming them, there's Steadfast and Reliance. Reliance is my ship. Alert and Diligence. But Molly, you'll be surprised to know there is no Coast Guard cutter Chastity.
Nope.
There is no Coast Guard cutter Sobriety. But whoever named these ships missed a couple of, nor a Coast Guard cutter Puberty. So whoever named all of these ships missed a few really good possibilities. Anyway, it was a very successful trip, and they made four interdictions, and all four of them turned out to be cocaine carriers. All of them have now been arrested. And all of them are awaiting trial. So
that's great.
So the work is good, and it is carrying on. And a final note about Steadfast, Reliance, and all of her sisters is that these ships are over 50 years old, and we continue to get full value for money for the American taxpayer.
I'm just blown away that they're little at only 210 feet.
They were when they were designed.
That's
huge. Yes, when they were designed, they were intended to be the test bed for using helicopters on relatively small ships. And when you have a helicopter on deck and strapped down, it changes the stability characteristics of the ship considerably.
Oh, it would.
And so I was one time out on off the Outer Banks. I was out searching for a merchant vessel that had rolled over. And I had a helicopter embarked, and I brought it in for refueling and for a crew change out. And one of those very low pressure, very micro systems that you get off the Outer Banks of North Carolina sprang up, and we rolled over at about 45 degrees with the helicopter on deck. And that particular class of ships has a tendency to hang when they get over. And so she hung over there. I knew she'd come back up, but it's still kind of a bad feeling. And you watch the machine sitting on deck back there, and she sort of shifts around in her in the tie downs. So, oh, God, I let everything hold. Well, of course it did, because I had a wonderful crew, and they knew exactly what they were doing. So we are now at the far too quickly the end of our time together. If you haven't gotten a shot yet for the virus, get in the queue, where whatever queue you can get into, and wherever it is that you actually belong. If you are accountable and responsible for other people, or in Molly's case, for horses, please take care of all of them. Watch each other's six. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and we will meet again here at the captain's chair, in this same place at the same time, one bell of the afternoon watch.